Going on an overnight trip with your band can be a lot of fun and a great educational experience. I'm going to give you 9 tips to consider on your overnight trips. Back in a moment.
Strike up the band so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
Tip number 1, reserve your transportation early. So many times I know in my district, the other teachers start requesting field trips, and especially if there's something towards the end of the year, then the buses end up being booked and there are no more left. So I actually reserve my transportation at the start of the year within the first 2 weeks of school. Do it in a traceable format. Our school has a form that you fill out and it goes to someone in our school. I send it to them via email, and I also copy myself on the email, and then I save that in a file. That way I have proof that I turned that in. Save everything, and then a couple of weeks before, make sure you confirm. Every district is going to have a different procedure for this. In my district, I usually confirm directly with the transportation director who schedules the buses. Also, I will reserve a bus even when I don't know the times yet, because I don't know the times of our competitions at the start of the year, but I put a broad range of time, the earliest and the latest time that I think will be going. And as soon as I know what the new times will be, I send that to the transportation director. Tip number 2, same thing for hotel rooms. Reserve them early and reserve more than you think you need. You can always take off a couple of rooms later, but a lot of times we forget about chaperones and drivers. And in this day and age, some of the different situations with transgender students, it's always better to have some extra rooms available so that you can move students around if you need to. And then you can always cancel those rooms. Lately, I've actually started using a travel planner for the rooms, just because it simplifies my life a little bit to let them take care of the hotel details. Tip number 3, plan an itinerary. It will change, but it gives you guidance. It gives the students guidance. I print out a copy for the students before we leave. I post one on the board and ask them to take a picture of it. I send it to the parents via email through Infinite Campus. The reason I put it on the board, they're not going to be able to take that with them, but I encourage the students to snap a picture of that and then save that picture as their background for their phone. I often do this too, and then I can just tap my phone to wake it up, and I have the schedule right there that I can glance at whenever I need to. A couple of ideas for when planning the itinerary. This is just something that has worked for me. I tend to give students a maximum of 1.5 to 2 hours of free time at the hotel. It doesn't mean it can't be 1.5 or 2 hours, two different times in the day, but just one stretch of time. That seems to me about the time for high schoolers that they can have a good time and they're not getting in trouble just yet. I have a funny story to share about that. We were at an event where another local band was in the same hotel as us, and some of my band chaperones and some of their chaperones were sitting around the pool supervising the students. And one of the chaperones from the other school said, "You know what? I don't know if it's a good idea that the students are playing chicken in the pool. Someone could get hurt." And one of my chaperones pointed to the pool and said, "You see the guy on the bottom there? That's their director." So sometimes I'm the one who gets in trouble. Tip number 4, I will include this in the show notes, but have the students sign a pre-trip behavior agreement. That way they know what their expectations are, and this can be everything with their language, how they're going to act at the performances they're watching, how they're going to act at attractions that you attend. But if you can have them sign that in advance, for overnight trips where we went somewhere far away, we took a Disney trip one time, I actually had the parents come in for a required meeting, and the parents signed the behavior agreement also. Tip number five, bring cases of water. Even if it's not going to be hot out, you want to bring more water than you think you need, or fill up one of those huge 5-gallon things with water. That way it's available for students. I find that they're more likely to drink from the bottled water than they are from the 5-gallon jug. That's just my students and my experience. But I pick these up at Sam's Club or Costco, or sometimes I ask parents to pick them up for me. And we just put it in the front seat of the bus. We remind students, grab one bottle on your way out. And that way we don't have to worry as much about students staying hydrated. Tip number six, some ideas for room checks at night. I prefer to have two same-sex chaperones checking on the students, and I ask them to actually see every person who is in the room. This is something I strongly believe in. I don't believe in doing the tape on the doors. Some schools do a room check, and then they put tape on the door that if the seal is broken, then the students are going to get in trouble. To me, there are two problems with that procedure. It kind of shows a lack of trust in the students, and I don't bring students on a trip with me that I can't trust. And it advertises to predators that there are teenagers in this room, and only teenagers oftentimes. Here's the procedure I use, because you're going to want to have something. I talk to all the students beforehand, and I am very strict with this. I've never had to implement it in my 20 years of teaching. I've been using this procedure for about 13 years. I tell the students that they are on the trip because I trust them. I also tell them about what it means to be loyal to a friend and not telling on a friend who's doing something stupid isn't necessarily the best thing to do. Just like if you knew a friend was wanting to commit suicide, staying silent is not the best thing for the friend. So what I tell them is that if someone in their room does something they're not supposed to, and they don't tell on that person, then everybody in the room is going to face the consequence because they knew that that person was doing something they weren't supposed to. But if they let me know, and suppose someone leaves their room, then they need to let me know that, and that person will be the one who gets in trouble and gets sent home. This has worked really well for me. I would love to hear in the show notes about some things that have worked for you or haven't worked for you. Some suggestions I've seen from some other directors, and this is something that I may go towards someday, is to actually hire a security guard who will stay in the hallway the night that you're trying to be protective. This sounds like a great idea for me. It does add a little bit of an extra expense, but it saves your parents and you from having to stay up late and do that task. Tip number seven, if you're taking a Disney type of trip or a trip where you're going to a theme park and the students are going to be on their own all day, I suggest that you have them stay in groups. They don't have to be big groups, but usually groups of four work well, and someone can't be in a group with just someone that they're dating. So no groups of two where they go off alone. I usually do a check-in window of time, and if they miss that window, then every minute that they're late, they're going to owe me 5 minutes of kind of like time-out time. And I try to make the window pretty big, so the window, for example, might be 1 to 2 o'clock. I will be here by the clock tower, and you need to check in with me sometime between 1 and 2 o'clock. And this way, if they're stuck in a ride line, then they still have time to get to you, and they're not missing something. What I have usually found with using that window of time is that most of the groups are there within the first 5 minutes. They just want to get that over with and get back on to what they're doing. And then there'll be one group that barely makes it in under the window of time. There's two reasons why, or one reason why I want to see the people in person. I just want to make sure everyone's doing well. I want to make sure they're hydrated. You can look in a student's eyes sometimes and you can see if they're not doing well. Maybe they haven't eaten. This also goes back to the hotel. On a trip like this, and pretty much every trip with teens, I try to make sure the hotel always has some type of hot breakfast. Teens sometimes spend all their money on junk food, and so this is a way of making sure at least one meal a day is going to be a good meal that they can fill up on and be ready to tackle the day. Tip number 8, my district requires medical forms. I usually have students fill this out at the beginning of the year, and I have every student fill it out, and now I have it for every student. I don't have to worry about trying to get them turned in the week before the trip. What I also do is I scan the medical forms and save it as a file. You can place it on Google Docs or save it in your email. And I also bring the hard copies also. And this way I have them in case my hard copies get lost or I need to have someone else look something up, one of my other chaperones, then that's available. Tip number 9. I don't call my parents who come on the trip, I don't call them chaperones. I call them parent educational leaders, PEL for short. And there's a form I have for them that kind of gives them guidelines also. And I will link that onto the show notes also. One of the biggest thing for parents who are on the trip is I tell them that they need to pretend that their student is not their child, that student needs to follow the same rules. So for example, one of the trips we take, there's a Walmart across the street from the hotel, but it's across a major road, and the students are not allowed to walk over there to the hotel, to the Walmart. So I ask the parents that their child needs to follow the same rules. They can't ask, hey mom, am I allowed to go to the Walmart? No, because they need to ask Mr. Divine those kind of things. I hope that these tips are helpful for you as you consider some things to do on overnight trips.
The Music and Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band teacher.